We are pleased to be with James P. Carse in Western Massachusetts. We are talking about a number of things focused by your book, The Religious Case Against Belief, and Bill Russell.
One of the things that I love about the work you've done is you always take my expectations and turn them upside down. Just when I thought I knew what was going on, you suggest compellingly, that's the annoying part, compellingly that there's another way to see it. I looked at the title of this book, and it took me a while to absorb it. I mean, people would say,
sure,
what's the book about? And I would call it, you know, faith and religion or something. And until I started reading it, I couldn't make sense of the title. Because to not only juxtapose, but to contrapose belief and religion,
right,
for most of us, I think, you know, 99.9% of us, if we were defining one, the other would be a major component of that definition.
Yeah. Well, that 35-cent word combination of juxtapose and contrapose. nickel words, please.
Conflict. To set them into serious opposition, and in fact to assert that they are not in the Hegelian sense, antithetical.
Oh, Hegel being the synthesis comes out at the end.
Thesis.
Yeah, that's one way that you can say that. Yeah.
Thesis, antithesis. I mean, if anybody knows anything about Hegel, it is the thesis, antithesis, synthesis business.
Which, I hate to say,
which
in my professorial role, he never said that. So anyway,
just clarify that.
That's the wrong Hegel we all know.
I was talking about Hubert Hegel.
No, you weren't. Bill the jokester.
The notion that belief and religion are at one another's throats in some very real ways is startling.
Yeah.
Well, I'm aware of that. I've been aware for a long time that people make an unexamined identification of religion with belief. Now, any historian of religion is perfectly aware that religion is a phenomenon that never can be translated completely into belief or belief systems, as I mentioned before. To put it in a kind of a formula, you can be religious without believing anything, and you can be a true believer, an intensely committed believer, without being religious. So now we have to look at the contrast between the two. And that's not so easy to do. And that's why I suppose the book is not that simple to read and maybe a bit upsetting.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a game. It is in your sense of finite and infinite games.
Yes,
it takes you in, and it doesn't let you go because there are these pieces, and there is charm. It's not necessarily easy, but it's delicious.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, and it's exciting. It, to me, was a voyage of discovery. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, things that I... And again, this is what you've done successfully many times, is to take what seems to be a familiar space.
Mm-hmm.
And force me, help me.
Invite me
to re-examine that and to do it in ways that are absolutely compelling. And this, and what is to me even more exciting and important is that what you're talking about, the combination is so central to where we live today, particularly in this country, but really worldwide.
Is that what inspired you to sit down and do the hard work of what clearly is rigorous thinking?
Yes, there are two things. One, I've been... Alarmed is a too strong word, but worried and unhappy with the attack on religion that really is essentially an attack on belief. And the authors of these attacks are unaware of the distinction. They assume that taking a bunch of popular beliefs and showing their irrationality or the lack of evidence for them is an attack on religion.
Are these people in the sciences, or?
Yeah, you know, largely they are. As a matter of fact, if you look at the collection of atheists out there today,
atheists, those who do not believe
who don't believe in God, they mostly come from the scientific side of the academic world. Philosophers would be a little more careful about those distinctions. But they may also hold the same beliefs. I mean, by the way, I do mean belief.
I was going to say, isn't science a belief system?
Actually, it's not. But what they make of it a belief system,
which is your objection.
Yeah, and I think that's a very serious error. In other words, what they've done is to take a scientific point of view and attack a belief system, but the only way you could do that is to convert your scientific point of view into a belief system. So it becomes an ideological battle that really doesn't enlighten anyone.
If I remember correctly from Finite and Infinite Games, which is, if not a Bible to me, certainly an apocrypha, if you will.
Oh my! Okay, all right.
That puts it in a different place.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
I think you better explain that.
Well, I do want to explain that because your concept, and this is really the question embedded in that assertion, you talk about open and closed systems.
Right.
And
right.
Thinking about what you just said about scientists and going from what is effectively the sciences, if I understand you correctly, and please help me with this, the sciences are by definition an open system. You go exploring, yes, and belief, not to be confused with religion, is a different closed system. Help me with this.
Yeah.
To close an open system, I find a very useful way of thinking about this. I invite you to help me clarify.
Well,
scramble.
An open system is not properly a system at all. You know, it's like a massive organism that could go in all directions, and as it does, changes its basic structure.
And you talk about boundaries at some length.
Yes, I want to talk about boundaries, but let me. I use Galileo as an example in the book. It's a very useful example because Galileo was on trial by the Pope Gregory. Urban VIII, thank you.
I read the book more recently.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's very interesting that Urban VIII is forgettable. At the time, he, being a major player in the Thirty Years' War, he's probably the most powerful man in Europe at that time. He had armies, he had immense wealth and so on, whereas Galileo had his telescope, you know. I should say Galileo was also very famous in Europe, but he didn't have the power of the Pope, but we forget the Pope completely. Most people would have no idea who Urban VIII is. But we haven't forgotten Galileo. And now what Urban VIII wanted to do with Galileo was have him renounce a certain teaching, namely the circumambulation of the earth around the sun. The earth rotating around the sun instead of the reverse. That's a very strange trial because 90 years earlier, the idea was it was already established and had been accepted generally for all those nine. Not really, it was not a big deal academically or religiously, as a matter of fact.
Copernicus didn't have to deal
Copernicus with was indeed, he was a monk, a Polish monk, and he never had to pay for these theories, really.
And that's a long time.
90 years, yeah. It was really an old idea. But, we have to wonder why the Pope was really after Galileo. And if you add to that the fact that as they were friends as young men, in fact, Urban VIII, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got my popes easily mixed up.
There are so many of them.
Yeah, right, enough of them to justify
that's
that.
That's right.
Urban VIII had actually, as a younger man, written an ode in honor of, in praise of Galileo. So you would be surprised why they brought him together. Why he brought Galileo in for the trial to the Inquisition. Well, it turns out that what was known to Urban and to the other intellectuals of the time we forget is that Galileo didn't just, let's say, look at the planet Venus or Jupiter a few times and make notes. He looked at them thousands of times and took elaborate notes. He never trusted any of his own conclusions. He, as a relatively young man, wrote his famous work on motion. Mm-hmm. It took him decades to publish the book. He wasn't yet certain that he was right about these things. In other words, what I think Urban VIII sensed is that there was no area of thought that isn't subject to question. And of course, that reflects back on religious dogma and religious teaching.
So and religious belief.
And, of course, religious belief.
We haven't explored the belief part of this at all, and before we get into, I'm sorry, the religion part of this,
yeah,
words matter, don't they? Let us go back in just a moment to while you say we can't define these things, to at least give a domain in which we can continue to have a good time with
good
James Carse here in Western Massachusetts. We'll be right back.